Hi, friends. Welcome back to Little Luxuries. This is a podcast all about romanticizing the everyday and finding the little joys that make life feel rich and beautiful. I'm your host, Tara Wright Knudsen, real estate broker, mother, podcast host, and your guide to finding beauty in the everyday. Whether you're on a walk, folding laundry, or just taking a moment for yourself, I'm so glad you're here. Well, let's kick this week off with my favorite things ever, little luxuries. I just finished a weighted walk with my husband. We went on a lunchtime walk because we have a babysitter today. And I am feeling good wearing my favorite workout set from Wave Kelly. I will link it in the show notes. I'm obsessed. So this week's little luxuries are fun and light, as they always are. Kicking off first with a follow-up to last week's little luxuries, which is a crispy Diet Coke, part of the summer Holy Trinity of Caesar salad, French fries, crispy Diet Coke. So I was talking to my girlfriend Jess this week. We had kind of a doozy of a weekend at our house. My littlest got a stomach bug, and I was nap-trapped on the couch for like 6 hours in the middle of the day. And I have these moments of like, I could move him and like go do things. And then I also have these moments of my youngest is six. And every time something happens, I find myself thinking like, is this the last time he's going to nap on me while he's sick? Like, how many more of these do I get? So I just was nap trapped on the couch for hours and hours with my phone. And I sent out an all call and said, will somebody please deliver me a Diet Coke? And yes, I know Diet Coke's not great for you. And I really only drink them in the summer a couple times a week. But anyway, she was like, you've got to share on the podcast your best hack for Diet Coke, which is I carry a reusable straws in the center console of my car because we live in an area that has paper straws, and nothing kills the vibe of a crispy soda like paper stuck to your lips. So if you live in an area where you also have paper straws, just put a little Ziploc bag of reusable straws in your center console or in your glove box, and then you just pop them into your cup and drink them, and then you just throw them in the dishwasher when you come home. You're welcome. That is my tip of the day. All right, our first actual little luxury this week. Last week, we got a homemade ice cream maker. We got the attachment for our KitchenAid, and I'm obsessed. My girlfriend Farrell has been talking about her ventures in homemade ice cream making at the pool all summer. And she was like, Tara, you got to get an ice cream maker. You are missing out. You will be obsessed. And I love Farrell because she is like the anti-gatekeeper. She's like, this thing is amazing. You need it too. And then I'm usually like, yes, tell me what I need. And then I go get it. So we got a homemade ice cream maker. KitchenAid is running a Christmas in July event. So it was like a really great deal. Our first foray into ice cream was not great. My kids said it tasted like a milk frosty. But then I read the instructions and found out that you're supposed to turn the ice cream and then you're supposed to freeze it actually for a couple hours before you eat it. I've been doing this year of the cake stand where we have treats on our cake stand. But basically we've had treats in our kitchen since the beginning of the year as just a way to be more joyful in what we're doing. I love the idea of romanticizing treats on a cake stand. Well, Farrell had a great idea about how to store your ice cream too, and she stores her ice cream in a loaf pan so that it looks like gelato. You know when you go and get gelato and then they scoop it into that tiny little cup and give you the cute little spoon? Well, it's usually in like a 9x5 rectangle, right? Which is like a loaf pan. And I have to say, when you get to put all the toppings on top, like I'm doing bananas Foster ice cream because that is my husband's favorite dessert, so that it just looks so fancy when we take it out of the freezer. Now, will it taste good? I don't know. But it's not really about that. It's about the experience. And I think people are going to be dazzled. I think it's going to taste good. So I'll report back on how the ice cream goes. But we did have a very successful inaugural trip making frosé in the ice cream maker. My girlfriend Jen came over last week. We had a little happy hour on the deck. So we made frosé, and it was mixed berries, lime juice, agave, and then wine. And what I love about this is that you could do it with wine with alcohol, or you can do it with de-alcoholized wine. And so this time we got really scrappy. We did mixed berries and we did a white wine, and it's still pink because of the berries. But next time I'm going to make it with strawberries, and I'm going to use my favorite non-alcoholic sparkling wine so that it's a little bit effervescent. And I think it's going to be delicious. So I'll post that recipe too. When it's really hot, I don't love drinking a ton of alcohol because I feel like it slows me down and I feel more dehydrated. So I love that way to feel fancy without necessarily getting a hangover. All right. Next up, the kids are doing their summer stuff. My oldest is working, saving up money for college. And then my youngest is doing camps. And so our mornings are a little bit slower. But I kind of felt like everybody was in a funk a couple weeks ago and just kind of groggy in the mornings, myself included, if I'm being really honest. Something that I found was that I felt like we were moving into the day with just kind of like lackluster energy. So I've started incorporating more I'm glad statements into our day. So, you know, asking how they slept, how they're feeling. But if they say, you know, I slept well, I will say, I'm glad you slept well, or I'm glad that you've got, you know, an exciting day ahead, or, you know, I'm glad that that we're all able to eat breakfast together. It's a sneaky and simple way to change the tone of your day. You know, my youngest is in camp, and I'm like, I'm so glad that your friends are in camp. I'm so glad that you're making new friends and making new connections when maybe his friends aren't in camp. It's that subtle shift, that subtle reframe that turns life into an opportunity to be joyful. And I think that's pretty magical. All right. My next little luxury is a new mantra that came to be from an Instagram post this week. I was hanging out with my husband at our house, and we care deeply about taking care of our home, but also taking care of our relationship. And I will be honest, like, that hasn't always been the case. I think a lot of us go through ups and downs in relationships. But the mantra that came out of this Instagram conversation was really simple, and it felt really profound at the time. But my new mantra is, date your spouse, love your house. So hear me out. A lot of times in relationships, we end up feeling like maybe we're not giving our best, or maybe we're expecting a lot from our partners. And something that my husband and I have really been focusing on for the last couple of years is making sure that we're asking questions of one another, making sure that we're not assuming how the other one is doing, how work is doing, really staying curious. And it reminds me of those early days of dating, right? Where you're in this constant get to know you phase, and you're going out and you're asking lots of questions and you're listening and you're learning about one another. And we've been married for 13 years. And so you would think, you know, like, I know you pretty well at this point. And it's true. Like, my husband knows me better than anybody else. Know him pretty dang well too. But we evolve as life goes on. And it's so important to stay connected and ask those questions and really take the time to love your spouse and date them like you did in the beginning, because we don't have as much free time. And, you know, sometimes the spark wanes. But I think showing your partner that you're engaged and interested in what's happening can be so powerful. And it's not just from the perspective of, like, I'm going to be interested in you so that you're interested in me. Like, I want to be interested in you because I love you, period. Something to consider here, and I was thinking about this mantra as I was thinking about myself as a single mom. If you do not have a spouse or a partner, date yourself. That is where you should start. Get to know yourself. Take yourself out to do fun things. Enjoy your time being your whole self, because your partner is not meant to complete you. Your partner is meant to complement you, to support you. Your partner should help you fast track your goals and believe in your dreams. But those are things we should be doing on our own. And I remember very clearly right before I started dating my husband, an episode for another time, but I tell people I did soulmate secret my husband. It was Thanksgiving, and I'd been single for a few years. I had a 5-year-old, and we were sitting at Thanksgiving dinner, and my mom said to me, I just am so worried that I don't want you to be alone. And she didn't say it in a way that, you know, was bad or judgmental or anything like that. She meant, like, she just wanted me to not have to do things by myself, right? And I told her, I said, Mom, I'm fine with being alone. And I truly was. I was like, I have a wonderful family. I have great friends. Like, I have an amazing son and a career that I'm building and that is blossoming. Like, I was in such a good place that for me, the idea of being alone wasn't anything that had to do with being, like, fearful or lacking. I actually felt really happy and secure and stable on my own, which was the first time I'd really felt that way my whole life, especially in motherhood. And then lo and behold, 2 weeks later, my husband and I went on our first date. And 6 months after that, we were married. But my point is that when you take the opportunity to get to know yourself, to feel whole in yourself, and when you take the opportunity to really care about your spouse, both of those things can be true at the same time, right? We take care of ourselves and we take care of our spouses so that we can be happier in our lives. Now, the second part of this mantra is love your house. All right. So love your house is not just something that I tell my clients as a real estate broker. Love your house is a core foundation of little luxuries. Loving your home is so powerful in how you live your life. And when you come home and your home feels peaceful and feels like a sanctuary and feels like a place where you can really find restoration, you live your life in a different way. So things that can make your home more peaceful for no cost at all. One, keep your entryway clear. Put away shoes, put away jackets. Keep your doorway clear so that when you walk in your home, it feels peaceful. Two, do your dishes at night before you go to bed. Run your dishwasher. Clear your countertops. When you wake up in the morning, you will feel so grateful to have a clean and quiet kitchen to come down and make your coffee and start your day. Something that we do in our house is we call it the closing shift. And this is something that is part of, you know, my history working in restaurants, working in retail. Closers' jobs are so powerful because they set the stage for the next day. When you take 15 minutes at night to tidy and clean up your living room, to put your dishes away, to wipe down your countertops, it's literally a little love letter to yourself in the morning, giving yourself the gift of waking up in a peaceful and clean home. These don't cost anything, but the level of peace they will bring you is just magical. Tending to your relationships in life with yourself, with your partner, and with your home is one of the most powerful things that you can do. And these things are not perfect. We just focus on pursuing them. All right, before we dive into this week's topic, I'm going to do a card pull for us today. All right, here we go. I'm going to fan them out. Oh, I'm going to drop them. Oh my gosh. That's going to go on Instagram. That wasn't very smooth. All right, here we go. Oh, that one just kind of kicked out at me. Oh, the card is Starseed. What lights you up? I think this is going to lean into exactly what we were just talking about. Let's find out. This is from my Rebecca Campbell Work Your Light deck. I will link this deck. It's linked also in the Shop the Podcast link. If you ever want to find anything we talk about on here, it's all in one place for you. All right, Starseed. Starseeds are souls with a double mission, to raise their own consciousness and the consciousness of the planet. Many starseeds spend part of their lives trying to fit in or conform. If you're dimming your light to fit in, it's time that you stop and start embracing your unique light that you came here to share. Treat your time on Earth like a glorious vacation. Beautiful. So maybe think about what lights you up today. And then see if you could do more of that. All right, so we're diving into something that takes so much courage and is absolutely a little luxury that will change your life. We're going to talk about the courage that it takes to have an opinion about how you live your life. How to say, this is what I want, and maybe more importantly, to say, this isn't what I want anymore. So many times we try to take the easy road and be agreeable. People-pleasing, over-accommodation, playing small so that other people stay comfortable. These are habits that can sneak into our lives and quietly chip away at our joy. But if you want to live a life that feels rich and aligned, you need to start practicing clarity, being clear in your yeses, and even more clear in your noes. There's so much power in saying, this isn't for me anymore. This one sentence can be a quiet revolution in your life. And it's not easy to say, but man, is it powerful. I have said this about jobs, about habits. I've said it about alcohol. I've said it about old identities. And I've said it about relationships that couldn't hold my growth. You know, I was a single mom at a young age. I had my oldest son when I was 22 and 5 days. And I always joke, you know, I was 21 and like 9 months pregnant, and I crossed my legs and said a prayer that the baby would be born when I was 22. But I probably should have crossed my legs and said a prayer 9 months earlier. Just kidding. I love my son. I wouldn't trade being a mom for the world. But it was not easy being a single mom without a real relationship, without health insurance, without a stable job. Like, I was waiting tables and I was a receptionist in a hair salon. Like, I was not in a stable place in my life at all. And I chose to raise my son solo after attempting to make a relationship out of a situationship, I guess, for lack of a better term. I had no money. I had no roadmap. But I felt within my heart that I could build a life that felt full of possibility. And it became very clear to me that just because I'd had a baby with someone did not mean that they were on the same path as me. So I chose to leave a really bad situation. I wasn't there for long, and it was probably too long. There were a lot of unhealthy things happening, and I think for a little while I tried to make something work for the sake of being what I thought of as a traditional family unit. And there came a very clear point in that time where I remember just having this feeling wash over me, like this total peace. And all I could think was, I don't want this. I didn't know what I wanted. I didn't know what I wanted. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know how I was going to make it work. I didn't know how I was going to pay for daycare. I didn't know any of those things. But I knew in my heart of hearts, being with somebody who wasn't meant for me was not for me. And so I said very calmly, I can't do this. I'm leaving. I am not interested in any sort of reconciliation. We had been separated, not married, but living separately for a few months, and had attempted therapy and had attempted some other things. And we were talking about moving back in together. And very clearly, like clear as a bell, in my head and in my heart, I heard, I can't do this. And so I said it, and it was scary. And, you know, I told my family, I was like, this isn't happening. We're not doing this. I can't do it. And I just knew that at the end of the day, I could look at my child with a clear conscience and say, I did my best to choose the path that was right for me, but also the path that was better for you. And choose a path with the opportunities I wanted him to have, choose a path with the opportunities I wanted myself to have. It would have been very easy to tamp those feelings down and say, I'm going to stay for the sake of keeping a unit together, rather than saying I'm leaving so that we can do what we're meant to do. I have made career risks that don't make sense to other people. When I was a single mom, I was working my way up, working through manager roles and taking on larger responsibilities. And there were a couple jobs where I truly just felt underwater. I felt not just that it wasn't just a learning curve of feeling like I'm still figuring out what this job is. There were jobs where I was just like, this isn't aligned to what I'm supposed to be doing. And I passed up promotions that I knew I would get because they weren't right for my living situation. Like there was a job where I'd have to drive an hour and a half a day. And I was like, I can't do that because I'm a single mom and my kid is in daycare. And people were like, you'll never get a promotion because you're saying no to these really good jobs. And I was like, I can't say yes to the job if I can't see my kid. And it didn't make sense to a lot of people. And a lot of my peers, in all fairness, were young and single and didn't have kids. So the idea of longer, more complex days made sense to them. I was in the retail world. And I ended up getting promoted always within kind of one of two stores, which was very unique. And I took on one responsibility where I immediately felt like I was behind all the time. And I was getting ready to actually tell my store manager, like, I don't think this job is right for me. I don't feel like I'm doing well at the job. I don't feel like I'm serving the department. And she came to me and she was like, I have this lateral position. Before I had this conversation with her, she's like, would you be interested in taking it? And on paper, it didn't look like a promotion by any means. So sometimes we make these moves that look crazy to other people. For me, I made a lateral move and people said it was career suicide. It ended up being the best job I ever took. I had an incredible team. I made a ton of money. I moved into a pay structure that really matched my skill set. And it was the job where I ended up meeting my husband. We worked for the same company, and my schedule in this new department, on this new level of the department store, meant that I got to know him. And we became friends, and now we're married. So you just never know when saying this isn't for me is the right thing. And with that comes surrender, right? You hold this vision in your heart that I know what I'm doing isn't for me. I'm going to surrender and know that something better is on the way. And perhaps some of the hardest times to say something isn't for me anymore is letting go of friendships. Now, this one is tender, but when people aren't interested in your evolution, lovingly releasing them makes space for people who care, and it also makes space for you. I had a friend that I had been friends with for years and years, and I had, in a season of life, like I was traveling a ton for work and had gotten a little unhealthy in my habits, and I was really working and focusing on getting my health back on track because I just felt really worn down and I wanted to take better care of myself. Well, we met for breakfast one morning and we're just going to catch up on things, and we ordered breakfast, and I ordered a normal plate of food, and I got a side of fruit instead of getting potatoes. Just me being conscious of where I could make a healthier choice. And she literally looked across the table and called me a bee for ordering fruit and said, "I can't believe that you would just leave me over here eating potatoes by myself." And I was totally taken aback. I think it was meant in jest to an extent, but I also realized that there were a lot of people out there who really wanted to support my healthier lifestyle. And I didn't have to subject myself to being criticized for making the choices that were right for me. And I found myself at that point kind of backing away from the friendship and giving myself the space to take care of myself, but also opening myself up to new relationships. And in that season, I ended up making some really wonderful friends who were on a similar track to me, focused on their health, focused on well-being, and more than that, really who were focused on cheering for each other. I didn't need to fill my time with people who were going to put me down. And I feel really strongly about that. And I try not to do that to other people, right? Like, I always want to be an encourager. And it's okay to want people in your life who are also going to be positive and supportive, and not in the vein of just always saying yes and being agreeable, right? It's so important to have people who are encouragers and truth tellers in your corner. And we don't have to keep giving people access to us who maybe don't deserve access anymore. Just because somebody, even if they were integral in a certain season of life, you may not always evolve together. And I just want to remind you that while letting go can be hard, it's not always sad. Sometimes it's exactly how you clear the path to what is for you, the new, the aligned, and the kind of life that makes you feel like you're finally breathing. Now, when you're unsure if something is meant for you or whether it's maybe time to assess whether it's not meant for you anymore, the best question to ask, in my opinion, is this: does this move me closer to the life that I dream of, or does it move me farther away? That's it. We need to tune in. We need to listen to ourselves. We need to follow our intuition and listen to our hearts. And we've got to build the muscle of trusting our own opinion. There is nobody who knows your heart the way that you do on this planet. And so many times we give so much power in asking for permission and opinions of others without ever actually taking inventory first and saying, what do I want in this situation? What is important to me? And how does this align to where it is I want to go? You don't have to know every step of your journey. Many times when you say that magical phrase, "This, I don't think this is for me anymore," we actually don't know what comes next. You don't have to know every step, but you do need to just have a sense of where you're going. That's the opinion part. That is the backbone of creating change and creating a life that you truly love. Man, here's a mantra that you can carry with you into your week to help exercise this muscle of trusting your own opinion. I trust myself to know what's right for me. I honor what is no longer aligned, and I lovingly release it. I am allowed to change. I am allowed to grow. And I am allowed to have an opinion about my one wild and precious life. You are the only person who will be with you for every day of your life. You are the one person that you need to build trust with more than anybody. Trust in yourself, trust in your intuition, is the most powerful muscle that you can flex as you're building those moments that feel rich and beautiful and full of joy. Those come from knowing yourself and taking time to get to know yourself, to date yourself, to ask those questions, to listen to those answers, to feel where those feelings happen in your body, peace in your heart, intuition in your gut, to know that you're on the right track. You know that by getting to know yourself on a daily basis, by asking those questions of yourself and not looking for external validation or permission. It's your job to guide that path, to make those decisions for yourself. So we've got one bonus little luxury this week that we're going to talk about is the power of thank you. Thank you is rooted in abundance. Please is often rooted in lack, and sorry is often rooted in shame. Now, there are absolutely times to say please and to say sorry. We need to apologize when we screw up. We need to say sorry as I mean it. Saying please out of kindness, may I please have, is, you know, something that we teach our kids. But thank you is different. Thank you is rooted in abundance. Thank you is rooted in spaciousness. Thank you is rooted in already having. What if we could shift the energy of our lives by simply incorporating more thank yous into our days? What if when we were 5 minutes late, instead of apologizing profusely for being late, we said to our friends, thank you so much for waiting. We're leading with having and not with needing. What if instead of saying, I'm sorry, I didn't get that, we said, thank you for the clarification. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. Instead of, I'm sorry, I missed that. Understanding that your words have so much power will change your life. Now, in addition to saying thank you, if you want to get ahead in life, honor your own opinion, say thank you. And I want to tell you one underrated advantage that I don't think people pay enough attention to, and that is the value of being pleasant. Now, again, being pleasant is not being a people pleaser, but being a kind, helpful, and pleasant person to work with is life changing. You will get farther faster, not by overextending, not by people pleasing, but being the kind of person that people are glad to see walk into a room. This is a business practice that I have had for a long time, and it is something that I definitely feel in my real estate business. When I write an offer for a client, I want the first reaction of the agent on the other side to be, I love working with Tara. It is our job to negotiate for our clients. It is our job to go hard. I don't go easy in my work. But I can be respectful. I can be kind. I always start with a greeting. I'm not just dry with people. I treat them like a human being because guess what? They are a human being. They have a life that's not their job. It gets you so far in life to be a pleasant person. Be kind in your delivery. Hold firm in your boundaries. You can do those things together. But man, to be a person who is pleasant to work with, who's kind, who's solution oriented, who gives people grace when they screw up, that happens, right? What's that saying? You attract more bees with honey than vinegar. Be the honey. Being kind does not mean being a pushover, does not mean being a people pleaser. You can be kind and firm. You can be kind and have boundaries. But when you're joyful to be around, people want to be around you. There's way less friction in your day. There's way less friction in your life. And chances are you're going to get way further, faster in your career, in your goals, if you lead with joy and lead with kindness. Thank you so much for tuning in today and listening to this episode of Little Luxuries. If today's message resonated with you, I'd be honored if you'd share it with a friend, leave a 5-star review, or send me a message over on Instagram at Little Luxuries Podcast. Life doesn't have to be about the grand to be beautiful. Sometimes the little luxuries are the most extraordinary of all. Until next time, I'm cheering you on. I'll see you soon.